January 23rd, Apple Computer will announce the Macintosh Office. You can look into it, or you can go on with business as usual.
I'm John Landecker at 7:35. We're going to talk Super Bowl commercials with Tim Nutt, who's the editor-in-chief of the Clio Awards. You've heard of the Clio Awards. They're like the Oscars for commercials. And he's also part of the Muse by Clio, which is a website that you can go to for constant updates about all the Super Bowl ads that have been released so far. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Hey, doing well, thanks.
Good. I came out of the news with an Apple computer ad that I think was from 1985 in the Super Bowl and is considered to be, from what I read anyway, one of the best Super Bowl quote-unquote ads ever. Would you go along with that? Would you go along with that?
I would definitely go along with that. It was actually 1984, and it was the commercial that really changed Super Bowl advertising entirely. It was the one that turned the Super Bowl into an advertising showcase, really. So before that, you know, in the 70s and the early 80s, you had some nice ads on the Super Bowl, but they were not what we think of today. You know, it's the one day out of the year that people tune in to watch the ads, and that single commercial from Apple, which introduced the Macintosh computer and, you know, really put Apple on the map in many ways, you know, convinced companies that this could be an amazing moment for them. It could be sort of a time to put blockbuster commercials on the game. And, of course, you know, here we are 40 years later, whatever it is, almost 40 years later. The companies, you know, shell out $5 million to do just that. So it's an exciting time for advertisers for sure. And I think Sunday, just like every year, will be a great moment for a lot of these companies on the game.
Was it the product of a Apple computer that was one of the motivating reasons that it made such a huge impression? I mean, the product itself, was it the presentation, a combination?
It wasn't the product, because the product hadn't come out yet. So really it was the creativity and the, you know, they got Ridley Scott, the director, to direct that commercial. And it was unlike, you know, I mean, it's just such a fantastic commercial. Folks can find it online. It's
obviously
super famous. It's probably the best ad ever made, quite honestly. And I mean, it was a fantastic creative ad. I mean, it was based off the 1984 book, you know, George Orwell, this dystopian vision of the future. And, you know, essentially it said, Apple's about to introduce the Macintosh computer, and you'll find out why 1984 won't be like the book 1984. So, you know, it was a big budget commercial, had an A-list Hollywood director doing it. And, you know, ads were not really like that leading up to that point. So nowadays you've got A-list Hollywood directors, you know, celebrities everywhere. It's become a really big business, Super Bowl. So that commercial, you know, 37 years ago, really set the stage for everything.
And then there are more current commercials, such as, oop, computer froze, I'll have to call Apple.
Mike, come on! Mike, what is your deal, man?
Oh, come on, man, you've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby! Whoa.
That's the Betty White Super Bowl commercial that... popped up when I was looking around for iconic commercials, and goes directly
a classic.
Yeah, that goes directly to your point that A-list directors and actors join together and put together very expensive commercials to make, and then spend a whole bunch of money to put them in the Super Bowl. And I understand that even though this has been the COVID type of year that it has, that the price for the Super Bowl ad is about the same as last year. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, I think it's down ever so slightly, but essentially the same. I think the last I read, it was around $5.6 million for 30 seconds,
jeez,
which is, you know, clearly an incredible amount of money. I mean, even going back to the 2000 game, you know, so 20 years ago, you're talking $2 million for 30 seconds. So it's up, you know, well more than double, almost triple from just 20 years ago. And this is, you know, this is not chump change for these advertisers. These are big companies, but $5 million for 30 seconds gives many of them pause, which is why, you know, you only have, you know, 40 or 50 advertisers each year who are willing to spring for that. I mean, of course, there's only a certain amount of inventory, you know, so some advertisers may not get in that want to, but typically, yeah, it's a huge investment. If you look at some of these companies' marketing budgets, it's a big piece of their annual spend. So These are important ads for them.
And obviously, over the years, it's been proven that they work in the sense that people remember the product and then go get it or buy it or use it or, you know, bring it into their homes or whatever the ad may be. Obviously, people bought commercials. I don't remember exactly what the Betty White ad was for at this point. But, you know, that's obviously they get the return on their investment.
Well, some of them do. You know, it's funny, like you say that you couldn't remember what the Betty White commercial. So that was actually a Snickers commercial.
Right.
So, you know, I'm sure for the next couple of weeks, you know, Snickers probably got a boost from that. You know, the return on investment is hard to say. Like some companies run ads on the Super Bowl and they do really well and it helps their bottom line and it does move product. Some run ads, and it doesn't help them very much. And I think the determining factor oftentimes is, you know, how well is the product sort of woven into the message, you know? Mm. And I think there's a formula to Super Bowl commercials many times, which is, you know, let's get a celebrity in here, draft off their popularity, and we'll try to, you know, squeeze our product in. Oftentimes, though, you know, you remembered Betty White, but you didn't remember, you know, the product itself. And that's a danger for a lot of advertisers, you know. So they have to try to split the difference between, you know, using a celebrity to get immediate attention, to get, you know, the fans who are watching the game to sort of lean into the spot immediately. But then you want to leave them with a message that, you know, our product is better than our competitor's product and you should buy it. And it's a fine line sometimes.
The little that I know about advertising from back in my college classes was, I believe there's the ad that tries to sell something, and then there's the ad that is, I think the term was institutional, which is to reinforce a brand as opposed to a specific item.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself, if you felt you had the product that was worthy of that kind of institutional advertising and you had the budget to do it, then that's what you did just to reinforce your image. I'm guessing that Budweiser and the Clydesdales might fall into that category.
Yes, that's correct. I mean, it's interesting. Certain ads are tied to a product. You know, most of what Anheuser-Busch does and what Budweiser does, you know, is brand building, right? It's not necessarily, everyone knows that, you know, what Budweiser is as a product, but you know, their advertising through the years on the Super Bowl with the Clydesdales is really just about, you know, building up the brand, making people feel that Budweiser is an American institution. It's not, you know, it's not necessarily telling you about ingredients or quality or things like that. It's more about just entertaining you and, you know, telling you that, you know, we're on the Super Bowl, we're the king of beers, this is where we belong, and we're not going to push a product on you, we're going to sort of deliver more of a message. Now, other Super Bowl advertisers that have been memorable, one that comes to mind specifically was actually 10 years ago this year, which was the Volkswagen Darth Vader commercial. That was a very interesting ad. You know, that was the one where the little kid dresses up as Darth Vader and he tries to you know, use the force powers to move things around in his house, and it doesn't work. And then finally, his dad comes home from work, and the kid runs out and stands in front of the Passat, which was the vehicle at the time that Volkswagen was trying to sell. And the dad standing in the kitchen uses the remote start on his keychain to, you know, cause the car to start, and the kid thinks he's done it with the Force. So that was an interesting, you know, a product commercial. You know, the Passat was the only vehicle at the time in the Volkswagen lineup that had the remote start. So, you know, that's an interesting, fun way to, you know, push a certain product. It also, of course, helped the Volkswagen brand. People were talking about Volkswagen for many, many days after that Super Bowl in 2011. So, yeah, I think some Super Bowl commercials push a certain product, but I think, honestly, the more successful ones don't try to dig into the specifics of a product so much as they try to just burnish the brand that makes the product. You know, people will remember good feelings about a brand at the end of the Super Bowl evening versus product specifics, I think.
Tim Nutt is the editor-in-chief of the Clio Awards, or, you know, the awards for commercials. They're like the Oscars of the commercials. Obviously, he knows what he's talking about, and we'll talk about it some more when we come back on 720 WGN. I'm John Landecker, talking about Super Bowl commercials, and just thought I'd throw in, this is Clydesdale music from some Budweiser ad from the Super Bowl years ago. Obviously, the Clydesdales don't do dialogue, but what the heck? Maybe you might have said, hey, I know that from somewhere. Yeah, here they come now. It's 7:50, 10 minutes before 8 o'clock here at 720 WGN, and Tim Nutt is with us. He's the editor-in-chief of the Clio Awards. Tim, how did you get into this anyway? What is your background in advertising? Because when I went to college, I almost took that turn, but just didn't quite go that way.
Well, you know, my background's actually in journalism, so I've never worked in advertising myself, but I went to school, fell in love with journalism, moved to New York, and wrote about the energy business, actually, for a couple of years. And then I thought, well, I'd love to cover something a little bit more creative. And I find advertising to be pretty fascinating. You know, the persuasion of that industry and the psychology behind it. I thought it was pretty fascinating.
The hidden persuaders, mad men, all of that. Yeah, it's it's a very interesting business, to say the least. And when it comes to the Super Bowl, it takes it up to a whole different level. And with the year that we've had, what do you see as a different, do you see a different tone to the commercials that we're going to see during the Super Bowl this weekend?
Well, it's interesting. You know, it has been a difficult year, obviously, for everybody. You know, so many people are in a lot of pain, and advertisers, you know, going way back to last March, I think they've had a hard time knowing, you know, how to talk to consumers. And, you know, you don't want to, on the one hand, ignore COVID entirely, because then you can seem out of touch. But, you know, if you talk about COVID directly or try to empathize with people, you know, you run the risk of either coming off as, you know, a downer or maybe a little boring. You know, there was so many ads in March, April, May of last year with, you know, somber piano music and, you know, we're in this together, you know, the same messages over and over again. And, you know, not only did it get a little tired after a while, but it's hard to stand out when everyone was saying the same thing. So
true.
I think what's really interesting about Super Bowl is, you know, Super Bowl, the rules are a little different, you know, and the ads that we've seen so far, of course, so many companies these days, you know, pre-release their commercials before the game. You know, we've seen several dozen spots already. And there's very little, you know, there's very little sort of poignant, heartfelt stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think most advertisers this year are actually going towards comedy. And I think partly that's just because that's what people expect from Super Bowl. You know, it's a time for escapism. It's a time just to have a laugh and take a break from the difficulties of the time and the difficulties of everyone's typical week. And so the ads we've seen so far, I think you're going to get a laugh out of them. And I think that's what everybody needs right now. I mean, you'll see a few for sure. You know, you talked about Budweiser. The interesting thing about Budweiser is this is the first time in 37 years that the Budweiser brand actually won't have a commercial on the game, specifically for Budweiser. We're not going to see Clydesdales this year. Anheuser-Busch, though, the parent company, is going to be running a spot, a minute-long commercial. It's about the phrase, let's grab a beer, and it is about, you know, connecting over a beer, and it's very much about these difficult times that we're in right now. So there will be a few commercials in there that reference what we're going through, the pandemic. But I think, honestly, what most people want is a little bit of a break from having to think about that. And I think people want to laugh. People want to enjoy a good football game. People want to enjoy some good commercials on the break. So I think, you know, what you're seeing this year and what the advertisers will see on Sunday night, it won't seem too much different from a regular Super Bowl, I think. But having said that, a few big advertisers that you normally see on the game, like Bud, like Coca-Cola, like some of the automakers, you know, Kia, Hyundai, these companies that are, you know, back every single year, many of them are sitting out this year. So maybe they felt like they couldn't get the tone right, or maybe they just, you know, didn't feel comfortable going with a comedic message or whatever it may be. So I think you'll see a bunch of newcomers, maybe 8 or 10 companies, smaller companies that maybe you don't even know about or haven't heard of. They're going to have spots in this year's game. So it'll be different in that sense. But as far as the tone goes, I think you'll see a lot of comedy, and I think people will actually appreciate that in the end.
Well, you can separate the commercials from the game, but of course it is one broadcast, and there are changes that will be occurring that relate directly to the COVID year, and one of them is the poet laureate who was at the inauguration is going to read a poem that Roger Goodell, the NFL chief, has requested her to do, which will deal with three, I believe, heroes of this past year dealing with COVID, and that also the crowd, although it's going to be very small, will be also consist, I believe, also of frontline first responders and those types of folks. And I'm sure that's going to get referenced more than just a couple of times as the game goes on. Mm-hmm. So a nice laugh in the midst of all of that would be, I think, a good thing. But Budweiser 60 seconds, my gosh, how much? That's like, what, $10 million?
That is $10 million. And you know what? Like, I've seen commercials in the past that are 90 seconds or even 2 minutes long.
Wow.
And then you add the production cost to that. I mean, a typical actor in some of these, if you're an A-list actor and you're in a Super Bowl ad, I mean, that's $1 million right there on the budget for. So, yeah, some of these companies, you know, the media buy to get on the game is only part of the expense.
Right. Yeah. I was doing some research on this, and one of the great things that can happen is that a ad that runs in the Super Bowl makes such an impression that it lives on and on and on. And the one that I'm referring to is the Pepsi can ad. Isn't that a great Pepsi can where, you know, we see the model slowly taking the Pepsi out of the machine and, you know, looking at it lovingly, and there are these two little boys who are watching it, and they say, oh, wrong one, John.
Is that a great new Pepsi can or what?
Yeah, that's a classic. That was Cindy Crawford, I think.
It's Cindy Crawford, and not only that, but James Corden, who does the Late Late Show on CBS, did a whole parody of that just in the past couple of years.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, things like that can occur, you know.
Yeah, for sure. That's 30 years ago. That's probably early 90s, that commercial. Which, exactly. Yeah, you're right. I mean, CBS has a whole, you know, they have a whole TV show, like, you know, greatest Super Bowl commercials ever, I think. I'm not sure if it's run this year or not, but the best ones live on in these sort of online, certainly, but also in these TV shows for many decades.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is definitely the social media and online and and YouTube has certainly changed the way we see and can see commercials at our leisure, and if we missed it, we can always catch it. But you have, can you explain quickly in the time that we have, Muse by Clio?
Sure, yeah. Muse by Clio is the site that we run over at the Clio Awards, and it's all about creativity. It's all about great advertising. So, everybody knows, advertising is something people usually avoid. They don't want to get interrupted by it, but
right.
There's a lot of great advertising out there. You know, that's what the Clio Awards are sort of set up to celebrate, is the best advertising. We think of ourselves as sort of the Oscars of advertising. We have an award show every year to honor the best ads. And, the best ads really are entertainment. I mean, Super Bowl is a great example of that, but it's not the only example. You know, all year long, there's really good ads that come out. Folks like Jake from State Farm or Flo from Progressive. I mean, Lily, the AT&T girl, like these ads, people actually like them. I mean, certainly there's many ads that come on TV that, you'd rather probably mute the channel than watch them, but there's many that are really great, and there's a ton of creative people working in the business. And so what we do over at Muse is write about the best work in advertising that's out there.